The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the one-hour express service.
Triple M.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends on once again a magnificent Saturday morning. Clear blue sky, a little chilly morning, cold down the beach this morning. Hope you can stay with us for the next 2 hours when we talk about all the exciting things that are happening in the wonderful world of sport. Never, ever is there a dull moment in sport. So stay with us, folks. Jump on the phone and give us a call as I welcome my fellow panellists this morning. A man who's let the soccer world go to rack and ruin.
Here we go.
I thought you had, Albie kid, I thought you had all this power, Albie. United, all their players are injured. The Socceroos, Timmy Carl's gone down. Postecoglou, our coach, is in more strife than the early settlers. I gave you one job to do, Albie, and you haven't done it.
Well, I'm looking forward to Adelaide United getting back on the winning track tonight in Perth.
Yep.
And also the Socceroos qualifying for Russia on the 15th.
Okay, more on Timmy Carroll a little later.
Yeah, look, that's sad news, Albie. Overnight.
Oh, I'm into you, son. But we are joined by royalty today.
We certainly are.
We're out of our depth today, I can tell you. This is a special occasion, Albie, as you welcome a young lady who has done unbelievable things in the world of sport. The most unbelievable thing in my eyes that I never, ever thought I would see this young lady growing up one day being in a Crows jumper. But we saw her, of course, this year, enormous part of the women's competition, taking the Crows to their first premiership. And I refer to young Erin Phillips. Erin, welcome to the
show.
Thanks,
boys. Great to be with you.
Good to see you.
On your haters, a bit of a round of applause.
Yeah.
Is it nice to be back home?
Oh, it's fantastic. I've been away for a long, long time. So to be able to come back last season and play in Adelaide, even in a Crows jumper, KG.
I said to you 2 years ago when there was first mention about the women's competition, if Port didn't go in, would you ever consider being a part of the Crows? And you said, never, never, ever, KG.
I think I said highly unlikely, which at the time it was highly unlikely. You know, you come from a Port Adelaide family. Just unbelievable, really, how it's all panned out. And I couldn't be more happier to be with the Adelaide Football Club. They're absolutely fantastic. They welcomed me with open arms, and, you know,
I told
it feels
you
like
good.
Home. Yes, you did. Now, you keep reminding me.
Are you looking forward to this coming year?
Oh, absolutely.
Or next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think... Well, season one was fantastic.
We're the hunted now.
So, absolutely.
Absolutely.
It'll be even harder, but the girls are always up for a challenge, and which is what I love about them, their energy and the challenge. So I'm looking forward to season 2.0.
Beautiful. Okay. Look, we're off and running. Yes, Albie?
Yeah, I've been asked to ask you. You're obviously basketball and footy's the prominent sports that you're. Are you interested in coming across as a soccer game?
No, I mean, you've let fall down too much for me.
Well, you can't bloody fix it, Albie. Erin probably can.
She probably can, that's right.
No. I'm looking forward to the series coming up, and, you know, hopefully we'll get it back on the winning way. So it's always good for Australian sport.
Beautiful. Great to have you aboard, Albie. And Erin, not happy with you, Albie. But anyway, more of that a little later with Timmy Carl. Stay with us, folks. We've got plenty of action between now and 10 o'clock. Haydos.
Are the alarm bells ringing for an Adelaide Crows linchpin? We get you to pipe up over that next.
Yep.
For CMI Toyota, Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Guys, the big talking point, unfortunately, is about Rory Sloane. I'm sick to death of hearing year in and year out, rumours about what our players from the Crows are doing. This one now with Sloane, he's out of contract at the end of this coming year. Mm-hmm. He becomes an unrestricted free agent, so he can just say to the club, I'm off, and that would be disastrous. And this is what Rory Sloane had to say on the Rush Hour about his future.
I mean, all the stuff that got said was just completely untrue in the media. And, Charles, that's just something Glenn and I can now start to talk through and start to figure out over the next year.
Well, since that sort of situation surfaced, guys, in typical Victorian fashion, and they love to put mud on us here in South Australia, this is what Kevin Bartlett had to say about the future of Rory Sloane.
He's out of Adelaide come the end of 2018 season. That's all that can be gleaned from his famous words yesterday that he's in no rush to sign a new contract with the Crows. Of course, Sloane says, don't read anything into that statement, for as a free agent, he has the whip hand. The Crows would have loved him to say, "I'll be a Crow for my football life," if only to save himself from a potential Tex Walker tirade. Sloan's manager, Ned Guy, is now Collingwood's new list manager. And I'd be flabbergasted if Eddie Maguire and his football department are not working on a Godfather deal right now.
See, the Victorians, they just jump all over that. And they'll stick the knife into our back. Mm-hmm. It's happened many, many times over the year. To counter that, this is what former Crows captain and now board member of the Adelaide Crows, Mark Ricciuto, had to say.
There'll be a weekly column. There'll be a weekly column in the Advertiser.
No.
When are you going to sign Rory?
Oh.
When are you going to sign Rory? Are you staying? Are you going?
Oh, he'll sign before Christmas. He'll sign before Christmas.
You'll have sleepless nights for a year now.
Oh, beautiful.
Fantastic.
Nah, you just got to think about it a little bit longer.
That's Mark Ricciuto saying that he will sign before Christmas now. Look, we saw the drama last year that unfolded with the situation with Jake Lever. It went on every day in all parts of the media. It became nauseating. And I have no doubt whatsoever that when we heard the rumours about the fact that when Jake Lever said, "I'm going," that the rumours going around that some players went to the coach and said, "Don't play him." There was rumours about the dust-up between our captain, Tex Walker, and Jake Lever. That's the last thing the Adelaide Football Club need. And there's no doubt it derailed our season last year. What about his comments, Albie and Aaron, that he's going to take his time to make up his mind? What does that signal to you? What does it say to you?
I think he's in a very good position to maximise his contract. But I can't believe that the Crows don't make him an offer that he can't refuse within the salary cap, obviously.
Yes.
But look, in my code, obviously, you can mention he's in the same category as a Gareth Bale at Real Madrid or a Messi or a Wayne Rooney.
Yep.
Now, when these guys are negotiating contracts, the club that really wanted them would come in with an offer that they couldn't refuse. Now, for me, Rory Sloan ticks all the boxes. He's a fantastic character. He's loved by the fans. He's a fantastic player, more importantly. Why don't they make him an offer?
Well, that's a very good point, Albie, because Crows have been renowned over the years of not being big spenders, but this is their greatest challenge, in my view. Erin, how do you see it?
Well, I think there's just more than one factor of keeping Rory. He's got a beautiful wife, Belinda, who's very successful in the media and
in her
position. Exactly. So I think, you know, Rory just taking a moment to step back and see what unfolds, because, like I said, there's a different dynamic now having a partner who's not just a stay-at-home kind of wife or can follow, you know, she's got her own career and own things. And, you know, we don't know what's in the future for them. Maybe they're looking to start a family and you know, be around family support. So, look, I think it's the typical sporting world to stir something like this up. And, you know, I'd hate to see next year this just being, like you said, a topic that comes up every single week and derails it, because I think the Adelaide Football Club are in a fantastic position to start a dynasty to win a couple of flags. And, you know, I hate things like this coming up, because it's just it's white noise, it's distracting, and as a part of that football club, it's something that, you know, you don't really want to have to deal
with.
Will
he stay or go?
I think he'll stay. I mean, I think you know, he's the leader of that club. He's got you know, the club in his hands, and he's the leader. He's the engine room. And I just think, and like you said, this is an absolute fantastic opportunity for the Adelaide Crows to really stamp their authority and sign him up and give him everything he wants. You know, he's the player that you throw, you know, everything at. So I'm pretty confident I'll see him in the tri-colours.
Beautiful, Albie.
I think the problem is that you might get a big offer from Melbourne. But really, Rue mentioned that he might sign before Christmas. That'll be a good day for all the Crows fans.
A fantastic day, Albie.
And Jars has mentioned earlier on in the week that they should make him a Crow for life, make him an ambassador of the club, if you like, once he's retired. But he needs to be a Crow. Set in concrete. Look, he's at a good age now to be offered a 3 or 4 year contract. I believe he's 27 now. So, look, it's ripe to get a good contract for him and keep him at the Crows.
Okay, we're going to throw it up into the Triple M family. Just judging by his comments in the press and on the rush hour, do you think he'll stay or will he go? Give us your thought, folks. 133353. Will Rory Sloan stay or will Rory Sloan go?
On Twitter at the moment, 47% of people say that he's staying. So 53% of people, which is the majority, are saying that he's leaving. And that is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of votes over the last 24 hours.
Well, the question we're asking our Triple M family, Rory Sloan, is he going or is he staying? Judging by his comments in the press and on the Rush Hour, what's your thought, folks? 1-333-53 is the number. This is what a very good friend of mine, a very good friend, and I use that terminology very loosely, Mr. Andrew Newton-Jarman had to say about it.
Lock him away. Make him a crow for the rest of his life. Mm. And the fourth point, Lou, I want him to be the senior captain next year in 2018.
Ooh, the carrot.
Give him the captaincy.
The carrot.
Give him the captaincy.
Yeah, by all accounts, was a bit flat when he got overlooked.
Give
last
him
time.
The captaincy going forward. I reckon Tex, with due respect to our boy Texan, no, give it to Rory Sloan so we don't lose.
Oh, cop that, Tex. My old mate, Savager. Give Rory Sloan the captaincy. I don't know whether that'll work, Jars, but I respect your opinion. Okay, 1-333-53. That's our number. Let's go to the phones. Bill of Highbury. Bill, what's your thoughts?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing, Aaron?
Good, Bill.
Anyway, KG, I reckon they should let him go. He's soft. He'd struggle to get a
Whoa. Hang on.
What are you doing in the grand
Bill,
final?
Bill, can we just take a deep breath there? Just for one, and I say that respectfully. Just take a deep breath.
Yeah.
There was no way known anybody, including anybody in this room, could dare say for one moment that Rory Sloan is soft.
When they put a tag on him, he does bugger all. Struggle to get a Guernsey in the women's league, I reckon.
Oh, Billy.
Let him swap places with Aaron in the men's.
You're not getting away with that. The fact is, he's one of the toughest young men in AFL football. He's a committed young man. He's been fantastic for that Adelaide Football Club.
He's soft. What did he do in the grand final?
He had a few buddy friends.
Aaron would have done a better job in the grand final than him.
Bill, he is the rock of the Adelaide Football Club, and I say this respectfully, Bill. That's a very irresponsible point you've made there.
KG, obviously you don't want to stay, so let him go. Look what happened to it'll unsettle the team, like Aaron said. Let him go. If you don't want to be with the Crows, piss off. Get rid of him.
Bill, take another deep breath there. Look,
get rid of him.
What I suggest he should do and should be asked to do, and that is to be open and make a call. He should have advised the club now or at the start of the season, I'm staying or I'm going, because we don't want the drama we had last year with Jake Lee. We don't want that again. And he would know by then what he's doing. Sure. And he's got to make an open, honest call to the Adelaide Football Club.
Well, you made a good point yesterday at the function that there should be a rule or a timeline when players have to commit, giving the club and the player a certain due amount of time to whatever they decide. So, you know, I think that's an interesting
particularly topic. When free agency is involved. Now, he can walk out of the club. And in fairness to the club should be told at the start of the year or just in the early part of the year, I'm going or I'm staying.
I guess is the tenure of the contract is very important here. You know, if you signed a 3-year contract, why would he be, you know, it's his prerogative to sit on that if he wants to sit on that. You know, a lot of things could happen in sport. Let's be honest about it. And, you know, injuries could happen to Rory or whatever. But to me, there's a year his contract to run. And it's up to him if he wants to come out. Ideally, it would be great for him to say, look, I'm going to be staying. And I think that's what Rue was alluding to there, where he's going to sign the contract before Christmas. If he does do that, fantastic. If he doesn't, well, I guess we'll all be speaking about it every week.
I'll come back to that. It's a good point. Let's go to Wayne of Enfield. Good morning, Wayne.
Well, I'm in shock after the last 7 months' comment.
Well, they're exactly right. Well,
if he's soft, I don't know who's tough. Didn't he win the award for the most craziest football by his peers last year?
Exactly right. You can't call Rory Sloan soft, God.
Well, he's soft, so is Neil Curley.
Well, he's not bloody soft. He ran through him in his playing days. What's your take on Sloaney, Wayne?
I think he'll stay. I think he'll actually... I think he's far better character than Danger and Tippett and a few others, and I think he'll stay.
So you think
he'll... hopefully you'll probably sell him before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, good on you, Wayne. That's what Roo said on the Triple M Breakfast. Thanks, Wayne, for your call. Chris of Hendon. G'day, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen. I believe Tex should actually give the captaincy to Rory. Rory had a good year this year. Mm. I mean, what happened with the Batmans? But he is there for all Adelaide. He's not going to leave.
I want to just clarify from a player of the Adelaide Football Club. You can't just give a captaincy to somebody
else. No, I know you can't. I know you can't just give it to him. Tex has got to actually hand it over to him.
No, not even that. The players vote on the captain. So it's no grey area. The players, they write down their 3-2-1 who they want, or in our case, in the Women's League, they do. And then that's how
they actually do that with the seniors too. They actually do that with the males too. Because I've played
that's a very good point.
So, you know, it's not Tex just going up to him and saying, hey, here, Rory, here's the captaincy.
I believe Rory's got the go for it. Yep. He's actually ready to do that job.
Absolutely. I think you make a fantastic captain, but players in the team have to actually vote for him.
Exactly right. So. Yeah, good on you, Chris. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Corey of Crystal Brook. Good morning, Corey.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Your take on Rory Sloan?
He's gone, mate. It's happened how many times before in every club, not just Crows?
You mean he's gone?
Yeah, mate. How many times have people said, I'm going to, wait. Every time everyone's walked out of the club.
Yeah, fair call. Yeah, look, good call, Corey. If I was a betting man, and I am, I'd put money on the fact that Rory Sloan will go.
Okay.
And I'd be disappointed, but I wouldn't be angry. He's end of next year. That's 10 years of service he's given us, 10 years of magnificent service. I think he'll go because his lovely wife, Belinda, is going to Melbourne to seek a media career. Now, you know, if that's what his wife wants, then Rory would have to go because he'll go back home. But I do believe very strongly, Albie and Erin, that if that's the case, then Rory should tell the club immediately.
But this is my. Would you be happy as a Crow man and Crow supporters out there if Rory came up and said to the Adelaide Football Club, "Look, thank you, but after this year, I'm gone. I'm going."
Yep.
And you'd be happy to go every single game
and watch
Rory Sloan and support
that? I'd be shattered, but after 10 years, the reason he's going is a valid one. His wife's going to Melbourne, and that's his priority, his family. He's given fantastic service. I'd be shattered, but I would accept that. Unlike previous deals that have been done, the Kurt Tippett one, where untruths were told. I would accept that, yeah.
How do you think that? What about the Crows fans? Some
would be angry. Some would be very angry. No doubt about that. And some would be disappointed as well. But at least it stops the innuendo if he's staying or going and what have you. That's the part that annoys me, Albie.
Look, the family situation will dictate terms there. You know, of his wife's going to be going to a media job there.
Your family comes first.
Absolutely.
Well, let's hope it's a massive job that, like his job. He's got a massive job there.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a very, very big loss for the Crows there.
No
doubt. But the family situation will dictate terms.
You're spot on. And so it should. God, you only got one family. And I'd be shattered. I'd be disappointed. I love my Crows. They've been the greatest thing that's happened in this state. Look, we'll take some more calls a little later. Thanks for your calls. Look, it's a very interesting topic, but I don't want to read and hear week in and week out staying or going. It's a bloody frustrating. Now, Erin, are you into cricket? Do you like your cricket?
Oh, I love cricket. Beautiful time of the year in the summer, you know, sitting back watching the cricket on the TV or getting down the oval. It's a fantastic atmosphere down there.
Beautiful. Sure. Well, we've got a big Shield match happening at the MCG today after South Australia were beaten last week by New South Wales. But I was disappointed that we lost the game last week, obviously. But apart from day one, where we batted poorly, I thought we matched it with New South Wales for the next 3 days. But look, let's welcome to the program now a man who hopefully play a very important role for the Redbacks today at the MCG against Victoria is our captain, Travis Head. Travis, thanks for your time.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Travis, was that a silly comment on my behalf that whilst I was disappointed, I thought we matched New South Wales for the last 3 days, apart from day one when we made 92. Disappointing. But I thought the last 3 days was some positive cricket by the Redbacks.
Yeah, definitely. We missed our opportunities, I think, throughout the game. We weren't great on day one, and we also weren't great, at that night session and Starkey through the second innings. We got off to a brilliant start in the second inning and were able to capitalise on that. But we definitely had our chances, which shows against a quality opposition.
And now, having said that, of course, we didn't get any points. It's important today, over the next 4 days, that we play our best cricket and get back into the competition.
Yeah, exactly. We played really well against Victoria. We've played well here at the MCG in the past. The wicket looks really good. So both teams are coming off not great performances in round one. So I think both teams will be looking forward to getting out of there today.
And Travis, a big game for you. Callum Ferguson playing his 100th Shield game. So it'll be nice to have a special game for him as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's been fantastic for South Australian cricket for so many years now. Yep. Yeah, to play 100 Shield games, as you know, it's hard to do. We don't play as many games as in our season in Shield cricket, so it's an unbelievable achievement.
It is, it really is.
And Travis, so what do we need? We need a bit more from a middle order batsman.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was probably the part that we missed the last game. Yes, we faced some good quality bowling, but we got off to such a great start from Dalton and Weatherald at the top that we probably didn't capitalise as well as we would have liked on that. Everyone's in great form. We've come off the one-day tournament where everyone played really well and every batter in the top seven got hundreds, really. So, it's not far off. We trained really well yesterday and the boys are in good nick. So the wicket looked really good. So hopefully it's not an issue this game.
Yeah, talking about Dalton and Weatherald, tell us about them and how important that good start is for the side.
Yeah, very important. Weathers has been a part of the team for the last couple of seasons now, and he's a man that I see. He can play for Australia, and he's been fantastic. He keeps getting better and better, and he works extremely hard at his craft. So Daltz is the same. He's a young guy who's come into the team late last season and performed really well. He performed in pretty much as soon as he came into the team, and he's an extremely talented cricketer, and it was great to see them guys. We've got a pretty experienced group now through the middle order and the two young guys at the top, and they showed the way last game, so it's fantastic for us.
Exactly. Travis, what about the pressure? Like, there's all publicity about who's going to bat at number six. There's publicity about who's going to keep for Australia in the first test against England. Your name's been bandied about at number six. Alec Carey's name's been bandied about as the keeper. Is there a bit more pressure on yourself and Alex given that situation?
Well, I think there is with everyone that you talk about, but it's how you deal with that. And I didn't perform great last week, so I guess I'm not feeling much pressure at the minute, because if you're not getting runs, you're not going to even be worried about that spot. So, for me, I'm not too stressed about it. If it happens, it happens. I feel in good form. I had a really good net yesterday. I've been working on a few things, so hopefully it comes this game. If not, get an opportunity in Perth. But I'm just trying to do my best for South Australia at the minute and try to win a game of cricket. And like you said, get us back into the season and get us running.
Exactly. Well, Travis, look, good luck. Thanks for taking our call today. Good luck. I'd love to see you get a big 100, son. You deserve it. I'd love to see you batting sixth for Australia. I'd love to see you get the points against the Vics today. And all the best, Travis, and have a wonderful match, young man.
Yes, thank you very much.
Good on you, Travis. Travis Head, our captain. Yep. He's a fantastic talent. Mm-hmm. Left-hander stands on the right side of the bat, which is something special about left-handers. So let's hope we can get the points there.
Absolutely.
Oh, you asked some good questions there.
Yeah.
You know your cricket, don't you?
Trying to get your job.
That's not hard. It's not hard, I can tell. I'm an old man.
Very soon.
Albie, the news to break overnight, very sad news, that Timmy Cahill copped an injury playing for Sydney against Melbourne City. And there's some feeling that he may miss the first away leg against Honduras in the World Cup qualifier. Now, you'd be shattered over that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely gutted with that. But he came off last night. By the way, Sydney won 1-0 against 1-0. Melbourne City.
Yep.
The injury to Timmy Cahill in the 17th minute impacted on their shape as well. They reverted to a 4-5-1 formation as opposed to their set-out team as a 4-4-2. But really, looking at... the big thing there in the game was Cahill getting injured, going off in the 17th minute, as I say. So is he going to be fit for the first game? I don't think so. The problem or the concern I've got is, where's the goals going to come from?
Exactly right.
Because he is an impact player. He could have been used in the first leg. The second leg, I think he'll be fit, and hopefully he could come on as an impact player or even be a starting player. Now, the other, as I say, where's the goals going to come from? Matthew Leckie, well, he's suspended for the first game. So there's a massive problem there for the first leg.
Well, no, we're stuffed.
It's imperative that we score a goal away from home.
Albie, we're stuffed. We are. Yeah. No, no, Leckie. No, in fact, this is what happened to Tim Cully, my favourite player. This is what happened.
Cahill beaten to it by Bose and giving away a free kick in the attacking third here. Oh, and Tim Cahill stays down, clutching at an ankle. And Postecoglou's heart just skipped a beat. Nation holds their breath. It's night over for Tim Cahill.
That was Fox Sports last night. Now, no Leckie, no Cahill.
Well, I see him going down, Cage. I knew right away. And then the replay verified what happened. He rolled his ankle. And as Ellen says off air there, it could be an injury. He get it iced up. If he gets it iced up and be looked after properly, which he will be, I think he's going to be okay. He went for a scan last night. That'll paint a picture of where he's at. Hopefully some news comes and good news comes to the fore there. But we have got to have him. If he could be on the bench for the first game as an impact player and the game goes well for us and we don't need to use him, great.
Yep.
But the second game, he's got to be there, Cage.
Okay.
Got to be there.
Well, I reckon they're stuffed, to be quite frank. And that hurts me to say that because I love my Socceroos. It's our country. The soccer enthusiasts or the sporting enthusiasts out there, no Tim Cahill, no Leckie, are the Socceroos stuffed in the league against Honduras? And when is it? It's next week.
It's the 11th. It's the away game. The Socceroos travel today, and then the home game is in Sydney on the 15th of the 11th.
Okay, the lines are open. 1-3-3-5-3. No Tim Cahill. Does that mean the Socceroos are in real trouble, or are they stuffed? 1-3-3-5-3. Give us your thoughts. The lines are open now, folks. Go to it. Yeah, we've got Nick of Davram Park. Nick, good morning.
How you going, Kate?
Good, thank you, mate. Are we in trouble?
No, I don't think so. I think it's actually it's a benefit for our team because we're going to have Leckie. I think Leckie and Milligan out as well. So I think it'd be good to see some of these young guys step up and score some goals because we're too reliant on Timmy and we need the next blood and next flow of players to play and score goals and be the next Timmy Cahill. And, yeah, I think it's going to be good. Especially
Who is the next Timmy Cahill? Who's going to score the goals with no Leckie and Tim Cahill there?
Well, I guess Robbie Cruz would come into the category there, I would say. He's the only
probably
one.
You say McLaren, maybe, will get a go. And Massimo Luongo is having an absolute ball at QPR at the moment over in England. So... Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably step in the middle. And then, Vogic, who's always scoring in the Champions League in Scotland, you think he may fire up and be free.
Rogic is the one that could maybe bag one. You mentioned Longo. He is on fire just now in England, doing well. That's the reason that Ange has brought him into the squad. Whether he starts him is a different matter. McLaren, for me, is certainly a very, very fringe player in the 25-man squad. But I think Robbie Cruz would be the one that we would be looking to, certainly in the first leg. In the second leg, we're hoping that Timmy Cahill is there and also Matthew Leckie.
Hey, Nick, before you leave us, can we beat Honduras with no Cahill, no Leckie in the first leg?
I hope so.
No. Nick, can we beat Honduras or will we beat Honduras?
I think it'll be a draw. That's my honest opinion. I think it'll be a draw, and it'll come to Sydney, and we'll win.
Well, Nick, let's hope it's a 1-1 draw because the away goal is massive,
exactly,
and imperative.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, Haydos has got some good news for you. Our good bloke Haydos.
I didn't pay for it, but we're going to see you along to see Adelaide United take on Newcastle Jets at Cooper Stadium Saturday, the 11th of November. And for everyone else, tickets head to adelaideunited.com.au.
Good on you, Haydos. Okay, we'll be back after the 9 o'clock news. Gee, where'd that hour go? Flew. So, and we'll talk about the Socceroos with Mark Bosnich too, Albie.
Bozza.
Have you got some hard-hitting questions for him?
I have.
Good.
I'm not telling you what they are just now, but I have.
I looked over your shoulder. You have got some hard-hitting questions too, Albie.
And also too, we need you to weigh in on probably one of the most ongoing and controversial decisions in the game. Is it time for a twilight? AFL Grand Final.
What rubbish.
Dealer KG. We've also got Aaron Phillips from the Crows and Alfie Kidd. I mean, to go through his credentials as well would take too bloody long.
No, take 2 minutes.
If anyone's timing, let us know and confirm on Twitter at Triple N Adelaide. By the way.
Yeah, good on your hat.
Whack!
Whack, yeah. Now, guys, during the week, of course, the AFL released the fixtures and so forth for the AFL season. And I've got to say, quite honestly and openly, I think Port Adelaide and the Crows have done exceedingly well, particularly the Crows. Gee whiz, it's if ever the Crows have got a leg up to play finals and finish in the top four, it's next year, no doubt about that. And Port Adelaide, they've recruited superbly, plus the fact they've got a very good draw as well. But the other thing that I want to bring up is that among all that was the fact that Gillon McLachlan came out and made some points about the AFL Grand Final. And the points he made is the fact that he's now going to push for the Grand Final to be played at twilight, partly in the day, partly in the night. And quite frankly, I think it's disgraceful. It's rubbish. Why change something that's not broken? The 2 o'clock time slot has been perfect. You have pre-entertainment, halftime entertainment, after-the-game entertainment. Why? What's the purpose in going to a twilight game? Now, Erin, from a player's point of view, how would you feel about that?
Yeah, look, for me personally, I hate waiting around any longer. So if I was playing in the AFL Grand Final, which I lucky enough I got to last year, 3 o'clock was even for
too
me
long
to wait around for it. But look, you know, it's obviously a money thing, a commercial thing.
Well, that's the issue, Erin. You've hit the nail on the head, and the AFL haven't had the guts to come out and say openly and honestly as to why they're moving it. They're moving it for a commercial reason.
Why have they said that they want to move it? Just for...
The point's been made that they'll play part of the grand final in the day, part of the grand final in the night, and that's the blend they want. Mm. But in reality, Channel 7 have always wanted a twilight grand final. Now, the AFL will give them that next year, and then at the same time, when the rights come up again, because they've given Channel 7 the twilight games, they'll ask for more money. It's a commercial thing. Albie?
There's always a hidden agenda when you've
exactly
got,
right,
when you've
Albie.
Got a massive occasion, the grand final. It's, you know, well-known globally.
Exactly.
Let's be honest about it. You know, it's global now, the grand final.
Sensational.
And to change it, you know, it works. It works as it is. Why change it to a twilight and then maybe mess it up?
Money.
As I say, there's always hidden agendas commercially.
Money. Exactly right. It's a commercial. And I think Erin makes a very good point. How do the players feel about hanging around, say, till 4:30 or 4:40, spending all the day knowing that they've got a grand final to play?
A lot of nervous energy to...
Would you like that, Erin?
No, I've always been a player that liked to play as early as
get
possible.
Get out and get it done.
Yep. So 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock was my favourite time to ever play a basketball game, but, you know, having to play at nights was part of the... You know, the TV rights of, you know, ESPN and
there you go,
things like that. So that was just a part of basketball that I had to kind of just deal with and
adjust to.
So I think the AFL, I think it will change next year. And
I've got
no
doubt it will,
even for a test run. And I think once it goes to a test run, you might see it staying there.
I reckon they should change things that are not that important in the game, but this is a massive thing within the game. They shouldn't have changed this.
It's part of tradition. I don't like it one little bit. Folks, what's your thoughts? 133 53. Would you prefer the AFL Grand Final to stay at the traditional time of 2 o'clock, or do you want to have a twilight Grand Final? Give us your thoughts, because I'm telling you right here and now, you're going to be faced with a twilight grand final. What's your preference? 133 53 is our number. Lines are open as I speak.
On Twitter as well, 58% of people say it would be better, 42% saying no, keep it traditional.
Again.
Just that's what the facts are saying, Cage.
I don't know, but I'm in the bloody minority again.
Well, is Cage in the minority? Let's find out. 133 53, yeah. Because this is just, someone needs to weigh in on this. Is it time for a twilight AFL Grand Final?
We've got Ange of Kidman Park. Morning, Ange.
G'day, boys. And Aaron, how are you?
Yeah, good, Ange. G'day. What's your thoughts?
KG, you can't even read a bloody text message, mate. And you don't like change, do you?
Well, no. I'm happy to change things if things aren't working. But why would you waste it?
How many more numbers go to night games of AFL football than they do during the day, KG?
Yeah, but you can't get any more in the MCG. It's capacity. Last year was 100,000 fans. What do you want? You can't fit 200,000 there.
When does the NRL play their grand final,
I don't
KG?
Give a stuff about the NRL. I don't like it.
Well,
I don't like rugby.
You should, because number one is AFL, number two is NRL.
Yeah,
Hang on. They started playing Good Friday. Now what's the AFL doing? They followed along and playing Good Friday.
Yep. Right? Well, I'm against that too.
So am I. But you've got to change with what your competition's doing with guys. Like, and you've got to do what the punters want. That at the end of the day, you know, that's what they want. Afternoons, it's better. 4 o'clock gets up. You can have a Barbie all day. You can have a beautiful Barbie all night.
Let me tell you that there were polls conducted, and 70% said no, don't change the AFL grand final time. 70%. And the AFL have been saying over years, we do what the fans want to do. Well, in this case, they're not doing it. Why they're not doing it? Because they want the money.
Okay, a question, and no Aaron's in there.
Yep.
How many people were against the women's league starting in the AFL?
Well, none that I know of.
Oh, come on.
No, not at all. Aaron?
Honestly, I didn't feel there was a lot of negativity bringing it in. I know there wasn't
negativity, but there was people that were against it, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I understand, you know, this is the game keeps evolving and things keep changing. But I think I have a suggestion to fix all this, and I just said it off air before, is we need a multi-grand final series.
Well, here we go. Yeah.
Game one. Your twilight game. Game two, put it back to the day game. And then a game three, I'll figure it out after that.
You get the best of both worlds.
And just to throw a bit of comedy at the end, guys, has Aaron has Port try to draft you as well this season? Because they've drafted everyone else off season.
Hey, they've done very, very well drafting after no, given
see,
that.
See,
Ange.
Aaron.
KG. Aaron.
Mate, I'm still waiting for this coffee to talk about the grand final, mate.
I'll buy a cup of coffee. But let me make this point, Ange. I've been waiting for years to make this point. Aaron is now firmly entrenched as a Crows footballer. And I never...
That's fine. When Port bring in their AFL women's team, mate, she'll be coaching them, so don't worry about it.
Oh, look out.
Good on you, Ange.
Thanks,
like
Ange.
Gavin of Fulham Gardens. G'day, Gav.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
That's good. Look, I'm right behind you, Cage. I reckon why stop it and make it, you know, like do it the twilight? I reckon it's garbage. You know, 2 o'clock's the best time. Mm. It's been like that for hundreds of years.
Yep.
Let it... Leave it as is, but you're dead right. Money talks all languages, KG, and that's what they're doing it for.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's all about the cash.
Yeah. They'll get extra money now for the rights. Good on you, Gav. Loyal supporter and a mad Port Adelaide
top
man.
Top bloke, too.
Good bloke, Gav. Very he is bloke. Really a good bloke, and his son's a nice bloke, too. Nathan of St. Peter's. Good morning, Nathan. Are you there,
Nathan? Your phone's stuffed.
That's better.
Yeah, you got me now? Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind the idea of moving it to the night time. I think it's, you know, it's positive. It's more like Friday night footy, which is what you wait for at the end of the week.
Yep.
I like the idea. I'll tell you what I don't like is the MCG having the grand final sewn up in their location. It's an away game for anybody else that isn't a Melbourne team. Mm.
Yeah,
it's tough. Too tough.
That's not going to change because, of the capacity. Yeah.
Just on Ian's point, Nathan, what about a home and away final?
Well, which one, you know, you need to have three. You can't just have one of each.
Yeah,
you need to have a decider.
Exactly, yep, decider. So yeah, that's what my point was. Say the Crow, obviously Crows finished top. They get the first home game.
Yep.
Second one goes to the MCG. And then game three gets decided back at the Adelaide Oval. Why not?
There you go.
Yeah. That's an option.
That's an option.
More footy, the better.
Yeah,
bring
absolutely.
It on.
Absolutely. Imagine the money in that one, KG.
There you go. More money there. Aaron, you're right. Good on you, Nathan. Thanks for your call. Well, as I said, if I was a betting man, I'd put plenty of money on the fact that it'll be a twilight game.
Yep.
That is for sure.
No worries. We're going to put that Aaron's idea on Twitter just to see if people will go for it or not about the three-game grand final, because everyone in here has got the lip up nodding going,
Three grand finals. Mm.
Well, you can afford to have a bad one. Like Adelaide Crows did. Had one. So.
I don't think my heart could stand that, though. Three. I have trouble getting through one, let alone three. Unbelievable.
It's Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota. Socceroos great Mark Bosnich.
Oh, yes.
Come on, Albie. Very soon, and Albie's got some questions for him. But there's singers too.
And of course, we learned overnight, sadly, that Timmy Carl has been injured and is in some doubt for the first leg against Honduras. To talk about that and other soccer components, let's welcome Mark Bosnich to the program, Albie.
Boys, good morning.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Good, thanks, Mark.
Good to have your time there. Boys, Melbourne City playing Sydney last night. Sydney being the benchmark of the league there. The sad point there, the big point to come out that game was the Cahill injury. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was a real pivotal moment, you have to say. It kind of overshadowed the whole game. Look, it didn't look good. I watched a lot of the replays this morning, and the way he came down, it didn't look good. Regardless of his age, he has got wonderful powers of recovery. But the fact that I haven't, I mean, normally I speak to him and his brother quite regularly. I haven't heard from them. Kind of tells me that, look, without knowing the results or anything, but it's not looking good at all. He's supposed to travel on Sunday to Honduras. I'd say that's an extreme doubt, and as well as he's playing in the first leg in Honduras. So fingers crossed, you never know with these type of things. You know, the first 48 hours is always very important.
Yep.
But the fact that it blew up so much straight after is not a good sign.
Boys, is it a big loss or a massive loss? Because I'm looking at the squad there, the 25 settled squad there. I can't see any goals coming from many of the players on the ground. Because with Leckie missing as well, where's the goals going to come from?
Well, I think you're 100% right. And look, that's been the case pretty much, under Ange's whole reign for the last 4 years. He's still the top scorer in all the qualifying rounds before the knockout phases. And he's like, I would call him like a big brother. To the rest of the team. I noticed even in the Confederations Cup when I went to Russia, when he started against Chile, the rest of the boys lift. You know, he gives them that confidence.
Yeah.
He gives them that security. And obviously we saw against Syria and we know what he can do. But I think it's a massive loss. You know, there's a few people on social media last night saying, oh, you know, not so much. But it really is a lot because of the fact, like I said, you know, regardless of what people have said about maybe he will or maybe he will not play in that first leg. The fact that he's there around the camp, around the boys, that gives him tremendous confidence to know that somebody of such experience and had such success before is around there telling them and cajoling them.
Boys, I guess that Russia, you know, if the boys qualify, look, we need to speak about Ange here because there's a lot of innuendo going about there. It's been well publicised that, you know, everybody's disappointed how he goes about his business. To be fair, the squad that he's looking at there or he's playing with there is quite a weak squad. And my problem is, even if they do qualify for Russia, I think if they get there, boys, it could be quite embarrassing with the squad that he takes there because there's really nobody else to come in.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I think the majority of what you're saying is right. The only thing I disagree with is the fact that it's a weak squad. I don't think it's as weak a squad as everyone's made out. We've got to remember this is pretty much the same squad that won the Asian Cup 2 years ago. And,
yeah,
and what's really alarmed me is the fact that literally 2 years on, so you're the top team in Asia, albeit you're playing at home, so we're expected to get at least minimum into the semi-finals, but we won it, and that team that won it has basically gone from sort of, you could say, the top team in Asia in the space of 2 years to basically not being able to qualify out of, like, automatically out of four teams, so to the fifth best team. In terms of the World Cup, look, last World Cup I was really concerned, especially the group that we drew and the fact there were so many young players coming in that we might get embarrassed in a couple of games, and we didn't, and I don't think we will get embarrassed. I just think that basically the most important thing for this team and for this squad is to qualify because all those old doubts will start to return. A lot of them, and I feel sorry for a lot of the teams, and they will be for quite some time now, and I think other countries around the world have had it throughout their time. I feel very sorry for them, the fact that they have to, you know, deal with the benchmark, which is the 2006 side, who are an amazing side.
Yeah,
and it'll be, you know, it'll probably be, you know, it might be 40 or 50 years until we get a team of that ilk.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of teams in the past, England, you know, Brazil, all these teams, they've had to deal with that. So I think for their own sake as individual players as well, it's very, very important that they qualify. And like I said, in the World Cup, I can't see us getting embarrassed. I don't see us doing anything spectacular, but I can't see us getting embarrassed.
You look at the Honduras game, Boz. You know, obviously they've beaten Mexico to get to gain the right to play against Australia there. How do you think this game's going to go?
Well, look, Honduras, like I said, are pretty much an unknown quantity. Their coach, Pinto, he coached Costa Rica in the last World Cup when they got to the last eight. So he's got vast experience. They've got one player that a lot of people may know who used to play for Wigan called Figueroa, who will actually be suspended for the first leg. Central American teams are usually very, very tough teams. And when I mean that, I don't mean rough in terms of, you know, dirty or anything like that. I mean very, very tough in terms of what they can put themselves through. And they don't give you an inch whatsoever. But in terms of their travelling, if you look at the away games that they've played, I mean, they got pummeled by the United States in that actual group. I think it was 5 or 6-0. So I think it's going to be vital that we stay within striking distance in that first leg. They'll have a parochial home crowd behind them. They'll try to use everything in that first leg to make sure they get a good enough lead so they can just come down here and basically get a draw. So I think it's important because I think at home, we haven't lost a World Cup qualifier since 2008 against China. So I think that's very, very important. If we can stay within one goal, maybe two, but one goal definitely, I think we'll win this league. We'll win this tie, rather.
Be nice, boys, to get a goal away from home, but let's hope and see we could get the victory in the two over the two legs. Boys, just to finish off, coming up to the EPL, two massive games over the weekend. Man City, who are flying high just now, as you all know, versus Arsenal, and Chelsea versus Man U. Well, I guess, you know, looking at the Arsenal, Arsene Wenger will be under severe pressure for that game, I would imagine. And Chelsea and Man U, I guess Mourinho will be under severe pressure to get a result at Chelsea.
Yeah, in terms of Arsenal, I think they maybe should forfeit the game. They only lose 3-0 if you forfeit the game. So I think it's better for them to forfeit. All the Arsenal supporters, I'm sorry, but that's the way things are going at the moment. It's not so much because you guys are so bad. It's probably because Manchester City have been so good. In terms of the other game, it is a huge game. A lot of pundits, you know, my ex-teammate I saw during the week, Gary Neville, saying that it's a must-win for both sides. Look, I'm not so certain. I think, you know, I can understand, you know, what he's saying in terms of from a psychological standpoint, but it's still very early in the season. We're only just into November. Mm. We've seen Manchester United in the last couple of weeks, or specifically against Liverpool, you know, go against teams to make sure that they do not get beat. I think Manchester United are a little bit on the ascendancy, you know, in terms of, you know, they had a really good win last week against Tottenham at home. They had a good win during the week in the Champions League, and Chelsea had a really bad defeat to Roma. I think Mourinho, going back to his old club, I think he actually might set up in a way that, that you know, give them an opportunity to win. And they need to, and because I think Manchester City, like I said at the moment, you don't want them to get too far ahead. They're only 5 points clear. But once it starts getting into double figures, regardless how early it is in the season, it is very difficult.
Mark, we appreciate your time. Let's hope we can qualify for Russia. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your time, Mark, and all the
Take
very
care,
best.
Take care, guys. Anytime. Really, really enjoyed it.
Good on you, Mark. Mark. Cheers.
Mark Bosnich. Well, there you go. But Albie's giving you a wrap. He really enjoyed the interview.
Look, you know, as we know about Mark Bosnich, former Man United player, EPL winner as well. Mm. You know, he's got a lot of experience there.
Just quickly, his relationship with Ange Postecoglou.
Well, looking at the interviews that I've seen Boz and Robbie Slater doing, the two of them are very, very unhappy with Ange being there. They're disappointed how he's not come out and been transparent about the whole situation.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all right. You can watch every A-League game live ad break free in HD on Fox Sports. Continuing tonight, where City clash with Sydney live from 7 p.m. Next, Cage in a rage on this show live. No.
Fire up, KG.
Oh, come on, Aaron. Get us. I'm a crows, man.
For CMI Toyota, Triple M. For CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer. It's Dead Set Legends with KG, Albie Kidd, and Aaron Phillips from the Crows. You can chat live at triplem.com.au on Twitter. And it is time for Cage to get wound up.
Yes, look, Sloaney. This was a message to Sloaney. Rory Sloane, tell the club and tell us now what your playing future is. Will season 2018 be your last as a Crows player? I would have every Crows supporter listening to this saying, no, no, no. We certainly hope not. Look, the reason I'm saying this, we don't want a repeat of the drama and all that hoo-ha this season, which involved Jake Lever. Was he staying? Was he going? It was an absolute
shambles. That had, in my view, a detrimental effect on the Crows' grand final performance. We had the rumours about players not wanting to play Jake Lever. We had the rumour about Jake Lever and Tex getting into an altercation. We don't want a repeat of that. Next season, you are really an unrestricted free agent and can simply walk away from the club. That would be a sad day to see Rory Sloane, who's been a totally committed player, just walk out of the Adelaide Football Club. That would be absolutely sad. On the other side of the ledger, the Crows must make it impossible for you to walk. Make you an offer that you simply cannot ignore. And let me say this in closing. In my view, this may sound over the top, but this is the greatest challenge facing the Adelaide Football Club in their history. They've been bashed from pillar to post about not being able to keep players such as Patrick Dangerfield and so forth and so on. Lose Rory Sloane and World War III will break out.
The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the 1-hour express service.
Triple M.